Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah. Well, TGIF, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So let's get going because this is another one of our favorite days. It's Friday in the Garden with Mr. Robert Boughton of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. Hopefully 22 will be a better year than 21.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So how did the dazzling nights and lights go and the holiday blooms? Unfortunately, I didn't make it. I wanted to so badly.
Yeah, the Dazzling Nights light show at Lou Gardens for the holidays was a record breaker. I don't have the absolute total yet, but every night that I was there, the place was packed, and we're transitioning now into a new exhibit that everyone will enjoy during the day as well as at night. At night, it's much more theatrical, if you will, because we have live performers and we have lights on dragons and fairies. So that will that'll go through March 17th, I think. So it's
wonderful.
A busy place. Yep.
Well, good. Now, I'm going to get right to one thing that I really, really have a question about, and that is when to buy your fruit and vegetables. And what I mean is that some stuff you can buy almost any time, but it may not be the right time. They may not be ripe. They may not have been picked at the right time. They may not be flavorful. And then on top of that, the price may not be right either. So I don't know if we wanted to do kind of like the ABCs of all of this, but can you talk a little bit about what we should be looking for when we're trying to, even if we're growing it, you know, when's the best time to grow and when's the best time to pick? For example, I saw some strawberries, and I wanted some strawberries so badly, and I just wouldn't buy them because they were, I think, $3.39, wherever it was, and I've seen them, you know, other times as low as $1.29. So tell me what the variables are that we should be looking for.
I would really hope that your listeners would eat vegetables from local sources and buy fruits and vegetables seasonally.
Yes.
But truth be known, we're all spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in January, and we are eating bananas and raspberries and strawberries and things that clearly don't grow in Florida, but grow real well in California or from South American countries. One, you want to buy local when you can. And there are many, many things, as you know, from our past discussions of vegetables and fruits that are that will grow and can be harvested this time of year. But because we're spoiled, we want our okra in the winter, and we want spinach all the time. And I have to admit, I was guilty. This morning I had strawberries and blueberries for breakfast, in addition to my cereal. So, you know, we really like being able to do that. Doesn't help the local farmer any, but
we need to think about
many of these vegetables have a very, very short lifespan once they're harvested and put onto the shelves at our local supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And some, like watermelons, will not ripen after they're harvested. Okay? So you could buy things like basil at any time of the year, because many of those are grown locally in greenhouses. But think about beans, for instance.
Okay.
Beans are very perishable. They need to be harvested when they're very tender. And when they're shipped, they lose 50% of their nutrition value 5 days after they're harvested. No, I'm sorry, 14 days after they're harvested. So these beans come from wherever, you know, I doubt they come from Florida, but let's say they come from California. It's going to take, you know, they harvest them, they put them in this big truck, and then they process them, and then they're shipped here. By the time they get here, they're already 7 to 10 days old. They've already lost much of their nutritional value. So if you're eating vegetables because of their vitamins and all of that, you're not getting your money's worth. And it may say fresh vegetables at the grocery store, but in reality, how fresh can they be? You know, because you get things like beans and celery and corn, eggplants. I mean, where do they come from? Well, you don't grow those here in the wintertime. So if you grow them for nutrition, they're still better than frozen, and they're certainly better than in a can, but they still have lost quite a bit of nutrient value. We do, however, this time of year, we grow beets and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cabbage, carrots. I had fresh celery for dinner last night. Of course, everybody's growing collards this time of year, cucumbers, sugar snap peas. Oh, my goodness sakes. I think I told you and your listeners before, I've grown sugar snap peas for the last 40 years. They're for a fairly new vegetable, so I've grown them for maybe 30 years. And you know, my kids, when they get off the bus, they would run through the house and into the vegetable garden and eat. And I have usually about a 20-foot row of sugar snap peas growing in my garden at home. And I have to tell you that I've never had a sugar snap pea make it into the house. They eat them right out there in the garden.
Mm.
So, you know, those are extremely perishable. So, you know, fresh produce at the grocery store is certainly more nutritious than frozen or in a can, but you really can't beat homegrown. Yesterday, I was in my vegetable garden, and I uncovered my tomatoes from the possible frost up in Longwood, and I probably had a dozen cherry tomatoes right out there in the garden, and there's nothing like fresh snap peas while you're out there working, or you could snap off a little bit of of fresh broccoli and have that out there in the garden. So number one, people should be able to, and we really encourage people to grow their own food. And then number two would be produce at a farmer's market or at the grocery store. And don't think that all of the produce that you get at a farmer's market is locally grown or is super fresh. Because if they were pressed to tell you where they came from, so much comes from South America now. And if you have, not that I would do this, but if you look under the table, you'll see boxes where they bought their fruit at a wholesaler the day before, and it's from Guatemala or someplace. So grow your own if you can. Fresh produce at a farmer's market is the second best, only because that's where a lot of the local vegetables are grown. And then number three would be at the grocery store, I guess.
Okay. So now you want definitely to support the local growers, and I guess it's a matter of modifying your palates and your desires and kind of growing, going with the flow, so to speak, in terms of what is prevalent out there, what's being grown, what is, what's at the farmer's market and what you can grow yourself. So I think, though, when I was listening to what you were talking about earlier, there are certain things that you were mentioning that we don't really, I think, teach our kids to eat sometimes because we don't like them, or maybe we just haven't learned how to prepare them or prepare them in a way that we like or our children like. For example, one of the things you were mentioning was Brussels sprouts. Now, a lot of people from what I gathered, don't like Brussels sprouts, but they can be prepared in a way that someone would enjoy them. And, it is also because of its season. You don't have to eat it, every day or every week or every month. You just eat it during that season. But Brussels sprouts, do you have a particular way that you like to prepare them?
I'm sorry, but there is no good way to cook Brussels sprouts. I hate them.
I don't know.
I absolutely hate them. I have
really
tried. Oh, and you know me, I cook a lot, and I teach culinary classes here at the Gardens. And my wife puts them on my plate from time to time, and I eat them, but it's not because I want to. I just don't want to make her mad.
Okay. Well, I have to say, I've learned to eat them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have tried them sautéed and with bacon and onions, and I don't care. They're still, they're just yucky.
Well, okay. I have to sort of disagree with you because, and the funny thing about it, you would think if you like cabbage, you would like Brussels sprouts, because I always liken Brussels sprouts a little cabbage. But there is a difference. They can be a little bit bitter. But I'm trying to find this place. There's a burger place that does Brussels sprouts. And first of all, you're going to a burger place, so it's not necessarily the healthiest place to go to. But there's a burger place that does Brussels sprouts. I'm trying to dig that up now. For some reason, I want to say Smash Burger. Yes, it is. I just looked it up. Smash Burger. And
that's just one more reason for me not to go to Smash Burger.
Oh, stop. But they do. They have Brussels sprouts. They're like, I don't know if they're roasted or fried or broiled or something that they do with it. Because part of it is like can be a little bit crispy or whatever. But they aren't bad.
You know what?
What's
you know
that?
What? I don't care. I just don't care.
Oh, my. Okay.
I'll call you home, but you're not going to change my mind. I've had people try to force Brussels sprouts on me all my life, and it ain't going to happen.
Oh, gosh.
And everybody comes up with a new recipe. Oh, Robert, you're going to love. I know you don't like them, but because it's legendary. Everybody knows I hate Brussels sprouts. And, you're going to love this recipe. And no, it doesn't make it. No. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but no, I don't know.
I just came up with an idea of sneaking them in on you, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. But
yeah. And I don't drink Slurpees or whatever those things are called with vegetables in them.
Smoothies?
I believe I'm chewing your food, not drinking your food.
Oh, I'm a smoothie fan. In fact, I have one sitting right here with me right now.
Well, let me back up.
Okay.
There's a restaurant called First Watch. It's
yes.
a chain, and they have a kale tonic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very good.
Kale tonic that much, but they have another one.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't think of what the name of it is.
With beets in it.
Yes.
It has beets.
And I love it.
It has three different colors. Three different
yes.
colors, and it's really kind of cool. Yeah.
It is. I love it. In fact, I always look forward to going there and getting that. And I'm going to find what the name of it is. But we're going to take a quick break. We're here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the third Friday of the month, and that means it's time for Friday in the Garden, and we are here with our gardening expert, Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. The number, if you have questions, comments, concerns, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. And I'm still looking for the name of that thing. They have another one, too, here it is. Morning meditation, that's what it is. And I love that stuff.
Mm. Mm.
Let me let people in on what's in it. And they have a purple haze, too, another drink that they've come up with. But, you know, sorry, it is one of my favorite restaurants. I always look forward to going. I always look forward to getting my little also to go. So, but let's see. I'm trying to see what the ingredients are, but like you said, there are beets in it, which I'm not a big beet person. I'm learning to like it in certain things. Oh, ingredients and nutrition.
My kids don't eat beets either, but they say it tastes like dirt. But, you know, I could sit in front of the TV at a football game and eat a whole bottle of Harvard beets. They're just so good.
Okay.
Yep. I make in one of our classes, we make mm-hmm. a beet salad. And mm-hmm. So many people have said, no, don't like beets, not going to eat it. So we've taken Detroit dark red beets, and we roast them, and then we peel off the skin, and then we dice them, and we put them with celery and some fresh green onions. And I think there's a few other things in there. And then you mix it all up, and then you just sprinkle with just a little bit of raspberry vinaigrette. And then you put it in the refrigerator overnight to let it chill. And people that don't like beets love this recipe. And, of course, the onions and the celery, the beets, fresh right out of the garden.
Now, my dad used to, I was like, okay. And I don't know what it is about them, but, you know, being separate and apart. However, I've had beets and, like I said, different things. And sure enough, it's just, you know, it's become like one of my favorites and stuff like that. So,
yep. And they're very, very easy to grow. And, there's a beet called Chioggia, Chioggia, and when you cut it in half, it has red and white stripes inside, like a target, red and white circles in it. Now, when you cook it, it turns red, but these beets are so sweet. You can eat them right out there in the garden raw, and you really enjoy them. They don't taste like beets, you know, after they've been cooked.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know also, too, I've seen where they, I got what it was like, sugar cubes or something that were made out of beets. Place I used to go to for tea, Teavana, used this sugar from beets in their teas, and it was really good. And so we did get some at one time, but it wasn't, it was a little bit pricey though, but it was really good. But okay, I'm getting off on
sugar
beets.
Beets and sugar beets, all they grow extremely well in Florida. Mm-hmm. She'd be growing them right now in the garden, along with just about everything else. I got some seed potatoes at Palmer's feed store downtown Orlando.
That's on Division, right?
It's on the same street as a soccer stadium.
Okay, so it's on Church. That's the one that's on Church, I think.
Church in Paramore, yep.
Okay.
Church in Paramore. And they have the potatoes that are virus-free, and then you chop them up and put them in the ground, and in 3 months you'll have, 3 or 4 months, you'll have fresh potatoes. Dig them out of the ground. Pretty easy. And the seed potatoes themselves are just regular potatoes, but they haven't been sprayed with any growth hormones that will prevent them from sprouting, because nobody wants to buy sprouting potatoes at the store. Because for some reason people think they don't taste the same, but these potatoes are, they have little eyes, little buttons, and they're starting to sprout, and you can throw those in a wicker basket or a milk crate and grow potatoes right there. You don't even need a piece of land to grow potatoes.
That's good. Now, the only thing is, though, you got to kind of balance that out with some other stuff, because, you know, potatoes are starchy and, you know, or have a lot of the carbs in them. So you've got to kind of balance it out. So, but
yeah,
I enjoy a great baked potato myself, though.
And if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic, you just have to not eat as much as you used to of the carbs, that's all. But you can eat as many of those fresh vegetables as you want.
Definitely. So,
yeah. I was in the garden yesterday, and I said, I told you I had lots of tomatoes, but I have these yellow banana peppers, and they're the ones for me that grow the easiest, that are most prolific. I'll have seven or eight big banana peppers on a single plant. And, you know, I just snap it right off, and I'm eating lettuce and tomatoes and peppers and green beans and sugar snap peas right there in the garden. It's just,
wow.
And there's nothing like fresh, nothing like it.
No, not at all. Yeah, so now preserving some of these, I mean, let's say I'm getting ready to try to I've been behind on it, but I'm getting ready to try to straighten out my garden again and start over. I guess I want to know, I lost my train of thought. When you're clearing out your garden, though, what types of things, I guess we need, and we've talked about it before, but what types of things do you need to do to make sure that, and how do you you've talked about using a newspaper instead of just the weed suppressant, using something like a newspaper or packing paper. But I wanted to know also, do you need to do anything for the soil? We've talked, I guess, a little bit about black cow. We've talked about some other things. What kind of things can we do in terms of if we wanted to compost, I guess, to prepare the soil?
This is one of those things that's really easy to do and has an incredible benefit in the garden. So I haven't used the newspaper idea in some time because we teach the vegetable garden class at Valencia State College here at Lou Gardens. And so we have the students, you know, they'll take their turn at using a cultivator and, cultivating the soil. And if there happens to be a weed, then they just pull it out. So we really like to cultivate. But an average homeowner who wants to prevent weeds from occurring, you use a single layer of newspaper and put that between the plants. And then we cover them up with oak leaves. Now we're getting into that time of year where everyone rakes up their oak leaves and puts them out onto the street. And I'm the guy that goes out in the middle of the night and collects those. Last year I collected over 500 bags in my neighborhood because I have a 2-acre yard and I use oak leaves as my mulch. I can't afford to mulch the whole place. So I use the oak leaves, and I use the oak leaves on top of the newspaper, and that holds the newspaper down. It moderates the soil temperature, and ultimately, after I harvest my vegetables and the plants and throw them into the compost pile, I will then take those leaves and turn them under. Now, I have a little rototiller, but it's just as effective if you use a shovel and you just simply bury those leaves. And when we started the vegetable garden probably, 15 years ago, it was white sugar sand. It was absolutely horrible, absolutely zero nutrition whatsoever. And by simply turning over these small oak leaves that we have here in Central Florida and turning those into the soil, it really helps the organic matter, which reduces nematodes, and it produces acid, which the vegetables like. I checked my soil acidity today, and it was about 6.5, which is exactly what vegetables like. So we use the oak leaves. And it's, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. So we're recycling these leaves. And it has an incredible positive effect on the health of the plants that grow in them. It's it seems too simple, but it really is that simple. And it does a great job. I know now from having done this at my home for almost 30 years, I know which homeowner mows their yard not because of the grass, but they mow it to suck up the leaves in their riding lawnmower. And, you know, all of those leaves are shredded now, so they have a lot of surface area, and those are like gold. And you throw those out into the garden and you rototill or shovel those, turn them over with a shovel, and that stuff is like magic. It's just, and the earthworms love it, and the birds come in because there's sometimes bugs and so on in there. So we use oak leaves.
I was going to ask you too about whether or not you needed to like shred them up or cut them up or something like that, mulch them up. So that does work better when they're mulched up a little bit versus.
If I was up north, where the leaves of the oak trees and other trees are much larger, I would recommend that you shred them somehow first.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very fortunate that most of our oak tree leaves are about, you know, 3/4 inch wide and 2 or 3 inches long. So there's a lot of surface area there, and we just turn them under, and it does an incredible job. It saves water. You know, if you increase that organic matter, the water stays around a little bit longer for the plants to absorb. Instead of sand where the water just runs right on through, if you use the leaves, it really allows that water to stay around longer, and those little roots have the ability to suck it up and make the plant healthier.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Robert, I'm going to ask you about pests in the garden and in the yard. So anyway, we are here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good afternoon and happy Friday, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, and it is the third Friday of the month, and you know that means Friday in the Garden here. And so, Robert, you know, I mean, we've had a few cold days, but basically our evenings for the most part usually are pretty nice to entertain, but if you're entertaining outside versus an enclosed area, there's a few problems sometimes. You know, we still have a tendency for mosquitoes and other types of bugs. Do you have any suggestions in terms of what types of things we could use, you know, that are non-harmful, safe for pets, safe for kids or whatever, and ourselves, that we could use to reduce the you know, tame the battle, so to speak, with the pests in the yard and garden?
Well, the good news is that we've had some cold weather, and that will certainly reduce the overall number of bugs. If we were to get a frost, that would help even more, but that means we have to cover up all of our plants, and that's an issue. We probably need to talk about that later, too, about how to do that so you don't harm your plants.
Right.
There are sprays that are 100% organic that include peppermint oils and rosemary oils and things like that, both for you and for the plants. And I have to tell you, I was somewhat skeptical when I used them at first, but they're very, very effective. So the organic sprays, I'm just not a big fan of spraying off and stuff like that, because there's DEET in there. And DEET
right.
is a pretty powerful chemical, and some people have a hard time using it without some kind of reaction. So any of the organic sprays that you can use that have things like thyme oil and peppermint oil and things like that are very, very effective. And they smell very good, too. It doesn't smell like insecticide. There are a number of topical plants, topical applications that you can create using plants that will help. The one that comes to mind first is an herb called pennyroyal. And pennyroyal is an herb. It grows very close to the ground. It may be a half inch high. It's not a tall plant. Oftentimes people will grow it in containers and let it flow over the edge. But you can grow and you grab handfuls of that and rub it on your hands and your neck and your arms and so on. And it really does keep the mosquitoes away. Now, the other side of the coin is that in the store, they will sell mosquito plants, citronella plants.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about it in my vegetable garden book. The bottom line is they don't work. I mean, for you to buy a plant and put it in the middle of a picnic table in summer in Florida and expect one little plant in a 6-inch pot to keep mosquitoes away just doesn't make any sense. It's a scented leafed geranium, and you touch it and rub it and it smells good, but to expect that to keep the mosquitoes and the no-see-ums away, I think it's a pretty tall order for such a small little plant. So you'll see it in the store, citronella, it keeps away mosquitoes. Save your money. They don't work at all. So pennyroyal is an herb that you can get, very easy to grow here in Florida year-round, which is unusual for an herb. Usually they either like winter or summer. But pennyroyal grows year-round, and it's very effective against mosquitoes, and it smells good.
Wow. I mean, I think, but you just busted a big myth with regards to citronella, because, there's citronella candles, there's citronella sprays, there's, all type of stuff, and people are heavily invested in it, and to find out it doesn't work. Fine. Wow. So the pennyroyal, where can you find it?
Let me back up. Citronella candles and everything are totally different than the scented geranium. So citronella candles, all of them, we used to use those when we went camping. It works very well. So citronella candles and things like that are different than a scented leaf geranium, which don't work.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. Okay.
Yep.
Citronella candles, good. Citronella plants, you need a lot of them if you're going to use them.
There wouldn't be enough room on your table.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yep.
So, I've been wanting to do, like I think I mentioned to you, on the evenings where you all are not doing the outdoor movies, I've been wanting to do the movies outside of my own backyard, because I have enough room to, invite a few people in social distance and everything like that. But I didn't know, one evening I was out there and it was almost like a swarm, and I was like, okay, I have no standing water around. I just, what is going on? So I was like, well, I can't invite people over and have this going on. So I needed to figure out what to do.
Yeah, you can, standing water, even just a small amount of standing water, like gutters and things like that, are going to harbor mosquitoes. the water inside the vase of bromeliads will harbor insect larvae as well.
Mm.
So periodically, you know, if I anticipate having a party in a week or two, I'll spray just a little bit of neem oil over the tops of those bromeliads and let it get into those little vases, and that that usually takes care of it. You're still going to have to be vigilant to make sure that there isn't any standing water around, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm out, you know, after work, I would love to go outside and spend an hour or two puttering in the garden, and they swarm. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it seems like there's hundreds of them. And of course, you know, seeing them is absolutely horrible. So
now you mentioned the neem oil. The neem oil Now I saw there's a neem tree. Is that where the oil comes from?
Yes, ma'am. The leaves of the neem tree are processed, and you get an oil from that. And it's native to India, and it's a very, very effective organic insecticide and fungicide, and it can be used on spider mites as well. So, yeah, it's a very, very good product. And you have to drench your bromeliads with it, but just a little bit. If you have a little, it, depending on how many you have, I have enough where I have a 1 gallon pump-up sprayer, and I'll put some neem oil in that, and periodically I'll go through and give my bromeliads a little taste. It may be that it doesn't really work, but in my mind it does, and that's all that matters. You know.
Okay. I'm going to have to go find some this weekend, though, to be sure. So before we get too far, let's get back to something that you wanted to cover in terms of covering your vegetation when we have the few cold days or whatever that we have left here in Florida. And for those elsewhere that may have a few more, you still want to know what to do to cover your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, or any of your ornamental plants as well. Most of the native plants, if they're planted properly in the right area, are going to be able to withstand cold temperatures. But we live in a very unique climate where we can grow temperate stuff and subtropical and tropical things. And especially with fruit trees, you know, when you first plant them, you know, they're going to be vulnerable to cold weather for the first 4 or 5 years. After that, they've established themselves, and it works pretty well. But for those first 5 years, you really need to cover them. We really encourage people to cover their plants with old comforters or blankets or sheets, something just to keep the frost off their leaves. We use underlying carpet foam at home to we can't bring all of our flowering containers into the garage, so I simply buy some rolls of fabric foam or carpet foam, and we wrap it around the pot and the plant that's in it, and then we fold the top over. So, and then we put a clothespin on that, and that protects the plant inside that foam. And then if you anticipate a cold spell lasting for a while, 3 or 4 days, like we're going to have here in Central Florida, you don't want to keep uncovering and uncovering your plant. So that top, which is folded over, you want to open that during the day to let the plant breathe a little bit, and then at nighttime you fold it back over. I have lots of tomato plants at home, and they're in round cages that I've made over the last several decades. And the metal not only keeps the tomatoes at bay from watering all over the place, but it also gives me a structure to lay blankets on. So I have a big plastic bag at home that has probably a dozen or more old blankets and old comforters in it. And I fold them up, keep them nice and neat. And then just the other day, I was going out of town, so I covered them all up before I left. And you cover up the entire plant, top and sides. And then I put a plastic tarp over the top of that just for a little added benefit. And if it looks like it's going to get into the 20s, which we haven't had in many years, but if it does get really cold, then I'll simply take some floodlights. They make outdoor floodlight holders that you can stick in the ground, and I will put those inside that little structure where those tomatoes are growing, and then it's just warm enough to keep the cold out. And you know, I just hate to lose my tomatoes after I've worked so hard to keep them and to keep them safe and nurture them and spray them for any bugs, just only to have Jack Frost come in and kill them. So it's pretty easy. Just use some old blankets, cover them up. I put a tarp over it, and then I put some floodlights, not spotlights, not floodlights really work well for me. And they're nice and warm. And I know some people will take the big Christmas lights on their house, and they'll put those inside because they produce a lot of heat too. Not the LEDs, but the incandescent bulbs. And they work well, and it keeps the heat away. But you cannot just take a regular piece of plastic or a tarp and lay on top of the plants, because the heat, the cold is transferred from the environment to the plastic to the plant. And that's it doesn't hold in any heat, and where the plant touches the plastic, that part of the plant will die. So no tarps, no plastic over the top of these plants. You need some comforters, or they do make some row cloth that you can buy at a garden center or home improvement store. It comes in a roll, and you can cover your plants with that and hold it down on the plants with some rocks or something like that. That works very well too. And then you can simply roll it up and put it in your garden shed until you need it next time. But no tarps, blankets are good, row cloth are good, but tarps and plastic, no.
Okay, you heard them, because everybody wants to run out and get those tarps, and it's like, nope, that's not it. That's not what you cover your vegetation with at all. So thanks for letting us know that. Going to take our final break. We are here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@JavisTax.com, 1040@JavisTax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Oh, I'm glad it's Friday. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. By the way, you want to tune in next week. Busy week coming up. Busy season coming up. There's the Urban Film Festival. We will have someone to talk about that on Monday. And then Zora is back next week, probably going on as we speak. They've expanded it. There's so much stuff going on with that. getting ready for that. And of course, we're getting ready for counting down the Super Bowl and we have the playoffs and everything. But right now, we are talking with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lew Gardens here in Central Florida. The number, if you have quick questions, 516-387-1944. And so, hey, speaking of the playoffs and Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, any suggestions on your end for any treats from the garden that we could be using, you know, something different that we can snack on for Super Bowl and some of those other events?
Well, believe it or not, I really like raw, fresh vegetables. And one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons why I grow as much of my own food as I can is because you can't get the diversity of vegetables in a garden or in a grocery store as you can at home. So I often, in a joking way, I said, you know, I'm having some guys over for the Super Bowl, and I want to have a fresh platter of raw vegetables with a little bit of, no guy's going to eat that, but that's the joke I use, with, you know, some ranch dressing in the middle. And so I go to the grocery store, and I go to the produce guy there at the store, and I say, so I'm having the guys over, and I want some raw vegetables, and I want it to be kind of attractive, you know, kind of fun. So I want, where would I find the green, yellow, purple cauliflower in your store?
Okay.
Sir, we don't have, we have white cauliflower. Oh, but I'm really hoping to get, you know, because I can grow yellow and purple and green cauliflower, and it's best used raw, because if you grow the purple or the green, when you cook it, it turns this really ugly brown. your eyes are telling you you really don't want to eat this stuff. Your mouth tells you that it's okay. It tastes exactly the same, but your eyes are telling you this doesn't look that hot, you know? So if you grow your own, you can have a nice little tray. Same thing with carrots. Everybody grows orange carrots, and that's fine. But what about the little tiny finger carrots? They're only maybe a little bit, maybe the size of your little finger around, and maybe 5 inches long. But they are the sweetest thing. They taste like sugar. What about growing some carrots that are white or yellow or purple or red? I'm growing a purple one now that has a red core on the inside. So, if you chop those up into little circles, that's a really pretty vegetable tray. You can also cut them up with sticks, and they're just as so. You know, these, everybody likes to eat raw vegetables with some ranch dressing on it, I think. And you can grow all
not
this really
much
fun stuff yourself. And have
peppers
and have
are nice, too.
Really good. What's that?
Peppers are nice, too.
You can get the
nice sweet peppers. Yeah.
Well,
taken a liking to some of those mini sweet peppers.
Yeah, those are little what we call lunchbox peppers.
But I make a
jalapeno topper, which is really fun. So you cut the jalapeno in half lengthwise. You take the seeds out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day before, you take water chestnuts. You take them out of the can. You rinse them off. And then you let them marinate overnight in maple syrup. Then you cut that water chestnut in half, and you put it on the inside of that jalapeno pepper. Then you put some cream cheese on top of that, and then you wrap the whole thing with bacon, and you put it under the boiler. And you have to turn it under the broiler. You don't want to bake them. You want to turn them. And make sure you know, that it's on a wire rack or something, so they get crispy all the way around. And then take them right out of the oven and eat them, and you get just a little bit of sweetness from that maple sugar, and you get the crunch of the water chestnut, which you don't get from the pepper now because the pepper has been broiled. And I can eat a dozen of those and not even blink an eye. That is a great, great recipe. Now, I also, because I admit I'm a wuss when it comes to hot food. I can't eat spicy stuff. I just can't do it. So I grow a pepper in my garden. It's a jalapeno pepper called Fooled You. And as the name would imply, you know, you're eating jalapeno peppers and everyone thinks that you're quite the guy because, you know, I can eat these peppers. Well, they have this variety called Fooled You. There's another one called Sweet Jalapeno. They have no heat. So if you like the flavor, you know, if you like the bacon and the cream cheese and that water chestnut that's marinated overnight in maple syrup, you get all the flavors, but you don't get the heat. So it's really a really nice snack to have during the holidays or during the football season. It's really, really good.
Kind of glad I asked you that question because now I need to go back and listen to the show again so I can get all these recipes and stuff.
So. I am full of absolutely worthless information just like that.
So you say, but no, I disagree. Well, we got a few minutes. Are you all doing the movies coming up next month?
Yeah, the first one we have coming up includes dragons and fairies in it. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of that, but you can
go
online.
That's okay. I'll find it and post it. That's all right.
It's a movie that children would certainly enjoy. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
The
movies are going to start up again, I think.
How to Train Your Dragon, that's what it is. And that's actually one of my favorites. So I'm going to try to make it out there.
In April, right?
No, April 1st.
April 1st. And then we'll go the rest of the season with that until the holidays again.
Okay. All right. So
We still have classes. Last week I taught several classes on winter vegetable gardening, what varieties and how to grow, all those things we've been talking about. We also have one on raised beds. Everybody is going crazy about making raised beds and growing food in them. And we have some examples here at the garden, and we'll talk about different kinds of soils to go in there, how much soil you're going to need, what vegetables and herbs perform best in a raised bed. So those are very, very popular. So you can grow, you can build a raised bed and grow vegetables and herbs for just a small amount of money. It works really well. And, you know, for people like me who are older and have a hard time bending over, or wish they hadn't bent over the next morning, raised beds are great. And you know, the one we use at home is 28 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a
real dream to go out there and garden and harvest vegetables when you don't have to bend all the way to the ground.
Robert, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for taking the time out. You take care of yourself, okay?
My pleasure, and have a great new year, everyone.
Thank you. You too, Robert. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Enjoy your football games. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.